So my study, it's my Master of Public Health thesis that I did on the mental health service needs, access, and utilization of South Asians in Los Angeles County. Actually, it's East Los Angeles County, SPA 7 and SPA 8. And I did my master's from California State University, Northridge. Just a disclosure. This simple overview of the presentation. I'll be going over presentation objectives, demographic literature, methods, results, then go over a bit of discussion on that, study limitations, and what were my recommendations. So we'll be looking at risk factors associated with mental health issues among South Asians, then look at the access and utilization among South Asians, what were the barriers, and finally looking at the need of culturally appropriate mental health services desired for by the South Asian community. California has one of the largest South Asian population in the nation, which is approximately 400,000, and about 84,000 reside in Los Angeles County. 68% are foreign-born, 70% are of South Asian, of the South Asian population, ages 5 or older, speak a language other than English, and 12% are living below poverty level. This is all data from U.S. Census 2000. But looking at some other community organizations, specifically South Asian Network, their advocates have reported that the population estimates that are reported in U.S. Census 2000 are not accurate. They are underreported, and approximately 120,000 South Asian community members are residing in Los Angeles County. Just some literature overview. And after doing a lot of literature overview, I found out there was not much literature available on the mental health status needs of South Asian community in California, and specifically in Los Angeles County, I couldn't find much at all. The mental health is a serious concern among South Asians, and most of the data that is available lumps together South Asians with other Asian populations. That makes it really hard to understand specific South Asian needs, mental health needs. I also looked at some risk factors and protective factors for risk factors and stressors. The literature mentioned that immigration and acculturation was one, economic disparities, high parental expectations, gender socialization, substance use, and domestic violence were the most commonly identified among the literature that I reviewed for this thesis study. And looking at the barriers to mental health services, access and utilization, a lot of literature identified mental health stigma, lack of health insurance, language barriers, as well as somatization of behavioral health symptoms means considering them as physical symptoms. If they have having pains, they would think that it's probably because of physical pain, illness, not because of mental health issues. And also, they seek alternative help instead of going to professional mental professionals for help for depression or stress and so forth. So the methods were based on looking at mental health status, cultural competence of mental health services, and barriers to access and utilization of mental health services among South Asians in SPA 7 and SPA 8 of Los Angeles, East Los Angeles County. It was an exploratory study. It was a cross-sectional study where the surveys were self-administered survey research, and all the participants were kept anonymous. The two survey instruments that I used for this study, one was the Community Health Survey and the other one was Key Informant Survey. The Community Health Survey was translated in four languages, Bangla, Hindi, Sinhalese, and Urdu, and it was community-focused. There were 21 items that looked at demographics, risks, and protective factors relating to mental health problems, cultural competence, access, barriers, and utilization of mental health services. And the Key Informant survey looked at, it was 12-item survey, it was provider-focused, and it looked at risks and protective factors relating to mental health problems, types of mental health service needs, barriers, access to mental health services, and also cultural competence of services, and what was the role of spirituality and religion. Sorry, I'm going a little fast. I piloted this study with 10 participants and also the Key Informant Survey with 3 mental health service providers who were serving in Los Angeles County. And both surveys approximately took 15 minutes to complete. survey population for the community health survey, I looked at the South Asian community members 18 or older that were residing in SPA 7 and SPA 8 of East Los Angeles County, and the ethnic groups include Pakistani, Indian, Bangladeshi, Sri Lankan, and Nepalese. And there was a total of 111 surveys that were collected. For the key informant surveys, I looked at service providers and community leaders that are serving South Asian community. And my goal was to collect 10 surveys, but it was quite a challenge for me to actually get to the respondents and get the surveys done, and I was able to get 9 surveys completed for this study. And looking at the results for the study, there were some demographics that I looked at. The majority of the participants were 36 years of age or older. 60% were female. The highest population was East Indians, followed by Pakistani, and then other groups and Bangladeshi. I put together Nepalese and other South Asian groups in other category. About 60% of the population had college degree or higher. More than 70% were married. And more than 90% were not born in US. It was mostly immigrant population. About 98% spoke a language other than English at home. 72% had health insurance, and about 77% came to US when they were 18 years of age or older. This slide looks at, there were 3 questions that I asked. One was the health status or health problems that they see in the South Asian community. This was specifically for the community members. And second question was, what are the problems that they have? And the third was, like, if they are getting treatment for those services. I made a general health issue because there's already a lot of stigma associated with mental health, and probably many just didn't want to look at just specifically mental health issues. So the results showed that just looking at general health, diabetes was the highest, followed by depression, and then there was anxiety and eating disorders. But when you look at the respondent themselves, what they responded for themselves, if they had a problem or not, if you look at specifically depression, you'll see about 20% said that they had depression, and only 7% were getting treatment for that. So I'm not going to go into details of every single one, but I just wanted to mention depression, and if you specifically look at anxiety and eating disorder, you'll see the same, that there's a huge difference between the people who had a problem and those who were receiving treatment. Next, I looked at mental health risk factors, and both community members and service providers mentioned immigration stress as one of the top risk factors, followed by depression by community members and stress of adopting Western culture, language, and beliefs by the service providers. And there are some other that you can look at, but I'm not going to go into details further. I have like a lot of results to report. I also looked at what protective factors, existing or needed protective factors to prevent mental health services. And this is all community respondents' perspective and the service providers' perspective. Community, both of them mentioned about the same as top 4, but you'll see number 5, the bottom one. Community member responded involvement in cultural activities, and service providers responded effective clinical care as the needed protective factors. Strong family support was the top one, followed by community support, then cultural beliefs, spirituality, and religious beliefs as well. I also asked them how comfortable they feel when they discuss their mental health issues with their service providers. Both service providers and community responses were divided on the issue of comfort. All the community was mentioning, like more than 70% mentioned that they feel comfortable, but when I asked the South Asian providers, they were saying that the computer does not feel as comfortable, and I'll go into a discussion explaining what could be a reason for that. And also I asked them about the stigma, and all the experts mentioned that there is a mental health stigma in South Asian community, but only 29% of the community respondent mentioned that mental health to be considered shameful in their family, culture, religion as a reason for not seeking help for mental health. So very few identified stigma as an issue. I also looked at access to healthcare. All service providers, and about 66% of community respondents mentioned that mental health services are somewhat or easily accessible to the South Asian community. And of the respondents, community respondents, 47.5% mentioned seeking help from friends or family. So they were seeking alternative help than going to mental health professionals. And also 50% of those who mentioned that they do not seek help from family, friends, only small, most of them said they did not find mental health services to be accessible. Then there were also some barriers that I looked at for help seeking. For the community respondents, non-South Asian healthcare providers, they mentioned that they cannot understand the cultural relevance or religious relevance of their problems or issues. And mental health services are provided in English only. Service provider mentioned stigma associated with mental health as a barrier, and they mentioned that families, adults, and children are not aware that they need services. And also they mentioned difficulties with transportation. I also looked at some cultural competency issues to consider when delivering and or developing mental health services for the South Asian community. Service providers identified outreach materials availability in South Asian languages, therapists or psychiatrists availability who can speak client's language, and also staff members availability with bilingual ability to provide bilingual services. Also, they identified cultural and religious activities to be incorporated as part of the therapy counseling, and interpretation services were also identified among the top five. So why there was a divide in the acceptance of mental health problems, one could be a reason that the area where I did my study is very highly populated by South Asian community, and the services are easily acceptable, accessible. So that's the reason why it is easier for them to connect with it and say that, or they find it easy. Also service providers serving the community respondents are culturally and linguistically sensitive. There is no evidence for these points, but it is a possibility because it is a highly concentrated population, South Asian population, and a lot of mental health. There are two major mental health organizations serving in that area, and which are South Asian specific. Also, they did not find mental health stigma, language, or lack of cultural competence as barriers because it's the same reason that to seeking help. And one reason is that they were going to their friends and family for services, so maybe they're not seeking services from professionals, so they find it comfortable. And then there's mental health stigma. Words like shameful or feeling shame can have a negative connotation among the South Asian community, and that could be another reason why there's so much mental health stigma, and when they were answering the questions, they found it to be very challenging and shameful. And then looking at the access to mental health services, a lot of community members had health insurance, and a lot of them reside in the South Asian rich neighborhoods with access to community-based organizations. And looking at alternative health-seeking patterns, there's stigma attached to it, so they don't go to provider services. But they go to see their friends and family for help seeking. Also, there's a model minority myth and denial of mental and emotional health problems. So that's the reason why there's alternative health seeking patterns. And also, there's a conflict between South Asian cultural values and Western approach to counseling and psychotherapy. There were some limitations. Because it was a very small population size and age group of South Asian, it could not be generalized to a larger population. Internal validity of the research was risked due to repeated translation bias because it was translated into different South Asian languages and back into English. Self-administered surveys, they may have introduced recall bias, and also because it was self-reported surveys, so there was a potential for biased judgment based on individual perceptions. And also, the survey may, the study may not have represented each segment of the South Asian communities, so it, because it was a very small population sample. So there were some recommendations based on the study. Mental health awareness education should be a priority for South Asian providers serving South Asians in East Los Angeles County. There's a need of a well-rounded systems of care providing services to South Asian immigrants, which could be an effective solution to combat major risk factors impacting the mental health status of South Asian community. Also, there's a need of to develop and launch an anti-stigma campaign in an effort to reduce the mental health stigma in South Asian community. And also, outreach efforts must include the information on the availability of mental health resources, so the community is aware what is available in the area. And also, there's a need of provision of support services for the South Asian community. And that's all I have. These are my references.
Thank you. I want to especially thank our speakers for presenting a tremendous amount of information in a very short period of time. I know a number of you came in late, so I just want to make a few announcements. As I mentioned, this is the ninth year of the South Asian panel, and one of the reasons, this is one of the best turnouts we've had in a long time, and this is one of the reasons why we can keep this panel going. And the way we can make the argument to APHA that this and other subgroup disparities should be examined is having a robust and sustainable membership base. So there should be a number of program books which list, somewhere in the back, which list all of our activities. Please do look at those, and also, more importantly, fill out a membership form. You do not need to be, well, obviously you're here, so you're an APHA member, but we just need to show them that we do have a strong membership base to keep and expand our sessions. That's number one. Number two is that from the caucus, especially with this panel, what we try and do is we try and always ensure that we have a diverse representation of not only geographic vicinities, which have South Asian enclaves, but also a variety of topics. A large way we can do this, one forum is the South Asian Public Health Association. Dr. Ranjitha Misra is in the back, who's the current chair. So this is really an opportunity to explore some of these issues that we really briefly touched on. Our newsletter and a compendium of South Asian issues is also in the back, so I urge you to take a look at that. And finally, the business meeting and social reception for the Asian Pacific Islander Caucus is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. The business meeting is at 5:30. It's in the program book. The social reception is at 7. We have a very impressive array of speakers. First is Dr. Howard Koh, who is the Assistant Secretary of Health in the Department of Health and Human Services, followed by Dr. Walter Su, who is the former APHA president, and Dr. Marguerite Rowe, who is the deputy director at the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum. So please do come. It is a great networking reception. So with that, we're not done yet. I welcome questions from the audience. If you could direct your question to a specific speaker or speakers, just so everyone doesn't take a stab at answering them, and hopefully we will get you out of here by 10 o'clock. So, yes, Ranjitha.
I have two questions. One is for Amar and the other one is for Nadia. Amar, you had clubbed fate and prayer together as coping, and
right.
They're very separate in my mind, fate versus prayer.
Right, they are. In terms of analysis, we kind of group them because they're very different from some of the other management practices, right? But they are very different, I agree with you. There were a number of people who did both, but just in terms of our analysis, because they were more similar than some of the other ones.
I was wondering if it was a typo. It was faith/prayer.
No, it was faith.
Okay, all right. Nadia, wonderful presentation, but I was wondering, when stress came up as a prominent issue, did they say anything about addressing stress in terms of culture, like yoga or something that they do? And use of complementary alternative medicine, which tends to be very high among the uninsured, did that come up?
Definitely yes to your first question. We did actually ask and probe about management strategies, and several of the issues that came up traditional foods that were thought to have curative properties. So bitter melon was mentioned by many participants, and the idea, I guess, bitter melon juice, like actually squeezing the juice of bitter melon and drinking that, and many folks talk about that as having being able to prevent diabetes and manage diabetes. And then Mithi, again, was mentioned. And I'll have to put together the name. Was anything else mentioned in terms of homeopathic medicine?
Yeah, the kind of lips called chirota.
Oh, right, chirota.
Chirota was like a juice from this lip.
Right.
So they mentioned that, I mean, it is very, very popular kind of, you know, lips.
Right, but so they get this from stores in New York, or do they go back home to get it?
They talked about getting it from stores in New York, so but all of those items are pretty commonly available, especially in the neighborhoods where people reside.
Other questions? Is there one in? Oh, go ahead, Sewell.
Great presentation. I was curious how you recruited your staff.
Salvation Network helped me a lot with that. They knew a lot of, it was a lot of their client base, as well as I went out on the streets of Artesia and went to people's houses, just stop people and ask them if they could fill it out. Because I didn't provide any incentive for the study, so it took me almost 6 months to actually get all the data, because it was extremely hard for me to get the population. Once they saw the word mental health, they just didn't want to complete it because they're like, oh, we don't have any mental health issues, so we don't want to, we don't need to write your survey.
Linda.
It's a wonderful array of studies. One of the things is happening to me is how much is recognition of how much dovetailing there was among the several studies. I can't put them all out, but in Nadia's study, for example, the very high importance of food as an issue in life and a prevention and treatment and medical care. And in Maham's study, there was a high recognition of eating disorders, which, of course, in greater discussion, I'd like to know how did they define it, not only how would I define it. And that's just one example. And then the question of stigma, shame, how do we define that, and how is it a barrier, or how is it already a barrier to participation that we even mentioned the word? I just saw so many points where I really hope all of you can be like in touch with each other as you pursue the subcategories and the themes that you've started to look at or started to work on. So that's just a comment I wanted to make, and especially in favor of the South Asian Public Health Association, where that kind of connection gets made in our internet, in our email list, in our participatory communication online. You could even post it. You know, has anybody got a South Asian definition of eating disorders, which is where we started years and years ago? Just
Kritika? Need to?
Making their services available to to the inadequately insured. So it may be in part a sample bias. They're also urban. So in the South Asian population in Chicago, which is urban and rural, that happens to be the less well-employed, more likely to be underserved compared to a large suburban population. Just to supplement the analysis that you're offering.
The person behind Ranjit, who's, oh, yeah, go ahead.
My question was to Amar and the next one to Nadia. So Amar, did you, I've read studies among the Cambodian immigrants, and undetected depression amongst them leads to poor control of diabetes. Did you by any chance get any sense of that depression and stress leading to poor control of their chronic diseases or something?
Yeah, I mean, the thinking back of like all the management practices that our respondents had, there were some really interesting ones, and a lot of it you would think are kind of maladaptive. You know, there's a lot of eating and drinking, and not drinking like necessarily alcohol, but just like, you know, drinking. I remember one response was saying, I drink a lot of Coke, and that helps me, you know, calm me down. So there, you know, there were some malpractice or maladaptive behaviors. But yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically.
And my next question to Nadia, I was just wondering about your survey method, because I'm pregnant with all the CAP study as well, so was your quantitative surveys, were they like based on the standard guideline questions, or when did you create them, were the focus groups done simultaneously, or before or after the quantitative show?
So we did adapt the surveys based on existing standardized survey measures, withdrawn from a range of different sources, the Behavioralist Factor Surveillance Survey, National Academy Survey, a few diabetes knowledge surveys from the University of Michigan, several other sources. But they were all based on existing standardized instruments. And in terms of survey administration, they were all conducted prior to the focus groups. So we had participants come, we gave them food, so they would stay, and had them do the survey, and then we conducted the focus groups.
Hopefully not sweets.
Right.
Go ahead. Who is that addressed to?
Entire.
Oh, Lord. Don't everyone jump up at once. Oh, there you go. Yeah, all right.
Well, I think there's a couple of interesting things that came up. When we talked about, where do we go from now? Obviously, we know we need more services. I think everybody mentioned that, medical world is not where anything is going to get speed done. Really, it's CBOs, right? So that's one thing we can take away. We know. There's a lot of evidence that shows that, and even if they go to the mental health world, we see that doctors tend to think one thing, and our participants tend to think something else. Like, there's low rates of stigma, and the doctors actually thought it was a lot higher. So, And I don't know if these people are working in community organizations or if they're working in doctors deciding like a private practice. So I think really the focus should be on how to target, like, you know, really on the provider side, really, I think, is how to talk to people about these issues, you know? Because it seems like our participants in our population really wants these services. They're just not being provided accurately. I think that's where we need to go.
Any other responses to that? It's significant. Okay, go ahead.
So in terms of next steps, I think, you know, this study definitely was not a standalone. It had a purpose of informing our community health sector intervention. So that really is our next step, to implement that intervention. And specifically around stress and mental health and, you know, the connections to overall health, our community health workers are really integrating strategies within the group educational sessions to promote stress management. So Tai Chi techniques, yoga techniques, and then the intervention involves a series of six sessions, and one of the topics is actually on stress management, and again, with communication, which is something that came up. And although, you know, we may not think of that as so clearly related to diabetes management, our community partners and our coalition really felt that that was an important component.
I see a number of hands, so I'm actually going to curb it just because we have a few minutes left, and I'd rather have you see those people individually just so you get all your questions answered. One of the things that was brought up was a lot of data issues. So for those of you interested in South Asian health issues, one specific panel tomorrow, the California Health Interview Survey panel, has two sessions specifically on South Asian data issues. So I urge you, if you're interested, to go see those, as well as other data issues among Asian Pacific Islander subgroups. Please, please, please fill out a membership form. You know, if you give it to me before the end of the session, you get a snazzy little thing to put on your, a ribbon to put on your name badge. Thank you so much to our speakers. One more round of applause, and we look forward to seeing you the rest of the time. Thanks.